Thank you, brother.
Sorry, brother.
That's all right. Thank you. Praise God. I want to begin, though, with a question this morning. And I want you to be honest with me. How many here have ever been on a championship team? A sports team? Academic challenge team? Now, you can keep them up. Just keep them up, any of these. What other kind of championship teams could we have? Bowling team. Yeah, bowling team. Bowling team. You're on a championship team. Any other championship teams? An academic team or something like that? You were on that team. Okay, we have some that have. I've never. You can put your hands down. I've never in my life been on a championship team. I never was. I mean, I was on a lot of teams. When I was a little boy, started out, I remember, in Little League. And I remember the first team that I was on. You know the name of the team? Was Soma. Soma Funeral Home. That's who sponsored our team, Soma Funeral Home. And the first year, we went 1 win, 23 losses. Huh. It was embarrassing, I'll tell you. The last year I was in Little League, changed teams. The name changed anyhow. And we went 21 wins, 3 losses. But the championship team went 22 wins, 2 losses. We lost to them in the championship game 2-1. Never was on a championship team. It got worse from there. I was on the golf team in high school and won some matches, but the team was mediocre. Was on the track team in high school and we were pretty good, but we never went to states. We never won the championship. I never have had the opportunity to celebrate in the locker room the championship. Never had that. Never had that. Thought about that. You know, this last summer, the USA men's basketball team participated in the Summer Olympics. And I don't know if you watched any. I tried to watch some of the games. And you remember 4 years ago in 2004, they were called the Dream Team. Wasn't it the Dream Team? And when they were the Dream Team, they didn't come through. They didn't get the gold. But this year, they came back. They renamed them what? The Redeem Team. The Redeem Team. And they went in, and I'll tell you what, they wiped out most of the teams. It wasn't even close. And then in the finals, in the final game, they played Spain. And we're able to beat them 118-107. How many of you watched that? Probably not, well, not many, because it was on what time in the morning? 2:30, 2 or 2:30 in the morning. I think that was Sunday morning. Oh, yeah, oh, you taped it, right? Yeah. But they won. And can you imagine what it was like when they won? I mean, they won the championship. Now, I wish I would be able to show you what it was like, because I got on the internet on Wednesday of this last week, and I got on YouTube, and they actually had the celebration in the locker room. And it was a video clip. It was only about 45 seconds or a minute long. But it showed the guys in the locker room after they had won the gold medals. And they're jumping on each other. They're patting each other on the back. There's LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. They're singing the national anthem. Should have heard that. You know, they're like this, going back and forth, singing the national anthem. They're singing the victory songs. And congratulate. They were so happy. One of them said, man, we worked hard for this, man. We worked hard for this. And there they were celebrating in the locker room. Folks, I'll tell you what, I've never had anything close to that. in my life. But you know what? One day, when I get up to heaven, in heaven's locker room, I'm going to enjoy the victory celebration. And the reason for that is not I'm on the redeemed team, I'm on the redeemed team. I am one of, because of what Jesus did, because of what Christ did at the cross, and because he walked out of the tomb 3 days later, he has won the victory, and one day, in heaven's locker room, I'm going to celebrate with all my teammates, I'm going to celebrate the victory in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I can't wait. What a day that's going to be. And I'll tell you, down here, I may never get the gold, but the streets are paved with gold up in heaven. The streets are paved with gold. And I'm on the championship team, and we're going to celebrate in heaven. Amen. Take your Bibles. Turn to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15. And we're going to take a look today at a winner's celebration, a victory celebration. And I couldn't get that clip on YouTube because you know what they did? They discontinued it, Jim. They took it off because of copyright. From Wednesday, we tried to get it, I think Friday I tried to get it, couldn't get it. But I've got a video clip for you from God's Word of heaven's celebration. And it's found in chapter 15. And today we're going to look at this. And you know what? I think this will be a great encouragement to us who are believers, who know Jesus Christ, because we're going to experience something like this when we get up to heaven. And the first thing I want you to note in verses 1 and 2 is the place of the victory celebration, the place. Listen as I read. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had come off victorious from the beast, from his image, from the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. I'll tell you what, folks, the place of celebration is not a locker room in Beijing. It's not the Cleveland Browns locker room. I didn't hear any amens in that. The place of this victory celebration, verse 1 says, in heaven, in heaven. He begins, I saw another sign in heaven. And I'll tell you, if there's any place I want to celebrate victory one day, it's in heaven. Amen. Amen? It's in heaven's locker room. It takes place in heaven. And verse 2 tells us a little bit more detail. The place of celebration, it says there, is the crystal sea. Now here it's described as, I saw a sea of glass mixed with fire. Those who had come off victorious from the beast and from his image and from the number of his name, standing on a sea of glass. This is what the Bible calls the crystal sea. And we have already seen this in the book of Revelation. You remember back in chapter 4 and verse 6. It said there, quote, and before the throne was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. This victory celebration takes place in heaven, but it takes place at the crystal sea. And at the crystal sea is at the throne of God. That's where we're going to celebrate. Before God's throne on the crystal sea, there's going to be a great celebration one day. And so this victory party is before the throne of God at the crystal sea in heaven. Now, I want you to think of, what's the most important place on earth? I mean, the most important place. Is it the White House? Is it Jerusalem? Who said Jerusalem? Jerusalem. Maybe Jerusalem. Maybe at the Knesset. In Jerusalem, they're where they make their decisions. Where's the most important place? The grave is the most important place. Or Calvary is the most important place. What's the most beautiful place on earth? Ken, is it Niagara Falls?
Somewhat.
That's pretty beautiful. Anybody else been to any other beautiful place on earth? Grand Canyon. I remember up in, you go up the Grand Canyon. Beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? That's a big hole in the ground. Grand Canyon. Where else is a beautiful place? Anybody been to Hawaii? Is that beautiful? Beautiful places. But you know what? This place before God's throne makes the most important place, makes the most beautiful place on earth pale into insignificance. This place, I'll tell you, the Bible doesn't give us too much detail, but you know why? Because you can't describe it. It uses terms like and as, because there's no human terminology to describe the beauty, to describe the importance of this place at the Crystal Sea. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like trying to describe to someone a beautiful sunrise. Anybody see the sunrise this morning? Oh, man. You saw it coming in, Paul. We came in to pray this morning. Beautiful sunrise. You know what it was like? I can't tell you. Because you can't describe it. You had to be there. And you know what? You got to be here, folks. This place is indescribable in human terms. It is before God's throne, the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of heaven surrounding the crystal sea, things that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of men, all that God has for us. And it's right there.
Yes, sir.
It's at the crystal sea. It's before God's throne. And that's where this victory celebration takes place. Now look with me secondly at the participants in this victory celebration. Verse 2, it says there, them, and I'm going to read it at King James, them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name. I want you to note something. This is not the church. This is not the church. I believe, folks, we're already there. We've already had our victory celebration, and it's not going to be too much different from this one. But this is not the church. This is those people that have come out of the Great Tribulation. We met them back in chapter 7. This is the great multitude who washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and were saved. This is the great multitude who were saved, and during the tribulation, they stood up firm in their faith, and they would not take the mark of the beast. And they were martyred for their faith. They were killed. Many of them, according to Scripture, were beheaded. And that's who's here. You say, well, wait, Pastor. Hold on a second here. I thought you said this was a victory celebration. I thought these were winners. I thought these were victors. They are.
Yes, amen.
They are. They're the winners. These are them that had gotten the victory. They had come off victorious. King James Version, I like it in there because it says over the beast, over his image, over his mark. These are overcomers.
Yes, amen.
In fact, this word for victory, it's very interesting. It's the same word that's used back in chapters 2 and 3 when the letters to the churches that says, to him who overcomes,
yes.
Same word.
Yes, praise the
These
Lord.
Are victorious. Yes. They have overcome. They have overcome. Now, those who dwell on earth, to those who are down here, they appear to be losers. In fact, Antichrist, the devil, will certainly say, these are losers. During the tribulation, as they follow Christ, you know what, folks? They will experience great loss, no doubt. They won't. There will be some losses. These people are going to have to pay for becoming a Christian. They will lose their jobs. They're going to lose their ability to provide for their families. They are going to lose their comfort. They're going to lose all their creature comforts. They're going to lose many friends who take the mark of the beast. They're going to lose. But what our text says is it gives us the scene behind the scene. It shows us how God looks at these who lose down here on earth. But in heaven's eyes, they're winners. They're overcomers. They're victorious. It may appear for a while in the first quarter or even late into the fourth quarter that they are losing. But here we have it. When the game's over, God's people win. God's people win. When the game's over, when the gun goes off, when the last play is made, those who follow the Lord are going to win. They're going to win. And you know what, folks? I would rather be on a team that appears to be losing and the end wins than be on a team that appears to be winning and in the end loses for all eternity. Amen? I'm going to tell you, folks, I would much rather. These saints would not worship Antichrist or Satan, and they would not bow down to his image. They would not take the mark 666 on their foreheads or hand. And thus they were killed, and they win for all eternity. Interesting. Now, what does that have to say to us? Even today, I mean, following Christ during the tribulation, I mean, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. It's going to cost you something to follow the Lord in that day. But you know what? Even today, to be a real Christian, it costs you something. In fact, Scripture says anyone who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We'll be persecuted. You know, when you really stand up for Christ, it costs you something. Even today, I think about that. You know, to stand up for Christ, you may lose your friends. You may lose popularity. You may be bypassed for a promotion. I know Christians that have been bypassed for promotions because they were Christians. You may lose, or you may be expelled as a professor in a university if you mention creation or intelligent design. You may not be given tenure. I don't know if any of you saw the movie Expelled. But I'll tell you what, professors in colleges that stand up, even mention intelligent design, are not being given tenure or being driven out of our state institutions. It costs. It may cost you your job. You may be misunderstood. You may be mistreated. You know what? Even your own members of your own family may not understand and reject you. Amen. It costs. It costs. And the world and the Satan, you know what they say? Loser. You follow Jesus, you're a loser. But you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, blessed are you who are persecuted for my name's sake, because great is your reward in heaven. Oh, the victory celebration. One day we'll make it all worth it. All worth it. I'll tell you, folks, oh, may these faithful tribulation saints be a testimony here to us this morning. May their commitment to Christ, their willingness to lay down their lives for their faith, challenge us, spur us on to deeper commitment and devotion to Jesus Christ. Amen? The participants. And lastly, I want you to see here the praise the praise in this victory celebration.
Yes, sir.
The praise. The songs of victory. In verses 3 and 4, listen to what they say. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are thy ways, thou King of the nations, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify thy name. For thou alone art holy, for all the nations will come and worship before thee, for thy righteous acts have been revealed. If I could have shown you that clip, like I said, about the redeemed team, and after beating Spain and how they were celebrating in the locker room, like I said, there was LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, and they're just going back and forth singing the national anthem. They were singing songs. And you know what's going to happen when we get up to heaven? We're going to be singing songs. This group sings songs. And there's actually two songs, victory songs, that they sing. The first one, it says, and they sang the song of Moses. The song of Moses. Do you remember what that was? Do you remember when God used Moses as an instrument to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? You remember how they stood at the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was coming upon them. And Moses stood up and said, Be still and see the salvation of our God. And God split the Red Sea so that the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. And I'll tell you what, praise God, when they got to the other side and God closed that sea upon Pharaoh's armies and they were delivered, praise God, they sang the song of Moses, Exodus chapter 15. You know what it was? I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. The Lord's my God, and I will praise him. The Father's my God, and I will exalt him. The Lord's my God, and I will praise him. The Father's my God, and I will exalt him. They sang the song of Moses. They said, you know what? We didn't do it. God delivered us. I won't cost you any more for that song, by the way. In fact, I'll pay you. But it's the song of Moses. It was the song of what? Deliverance. It was the song of redemption. It was the song of salvation. That's the song of Moses. And you know what? This group, this tribulation saints, are going to be singing the song of Moses. But they're also going to be singing another song, aren't they? They're going to be singing the song of the Lamb. Now hold your hand here. Let's go back and look at that song, chapter 5. In chapter 5 of Revelation, remember we've already seen this song of the Lamb, but it's in chapter 5 of Revelation, verses 9 through 12. Remember, here we have a picture in heaven, and this is us singing here. And it says, and they sang a new song, verse 9, saying, Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and did purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and every tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, here it is, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might, honor and glory and blessing. There's the song of the Lamb.
Yes,
the song of Jesus Christ. The song about what he has done for us. The victory has come through what he did for us. The victory has come through his shed blood. And he died for us. and so that he might redeem us. And we're going to be singing about what he has done. Both of these victory songs are songs of redemption, songs of deliverance, songs of salvation. And they have one important, ultimate thing in common. Both of the victories came through one thing. You know what it came through? The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Passover Lamb in the Old Testament, the blood of the New Testament Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus. He has gained the victory. And there's going to be songs before the throne. Now, I want you to keep your hand here. How did these saints get the victory? Turn back to chapter 12, and we've already taken a look at this, but I want to emphasize it again. What was their strategy for victory? What's their strategy? Chapter 12, verse 11. Here's how they overcame. Here's how they got the victory. And they overcame him, the devil, because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even unto death. There's the strategy. First, they overcame through the blood of the Lamb. They were saved by the blood. They weren't saved by the bell. They weren't saved by the belt. They were saved by the blood. And the only way you can be an overcomer, only way, is to be saved. If a person's not saved by the blood, you can't overcome. You can't be victorious. You'll never stand in heaven's locker room and rejoice in the victory of Christ. And not only did they overcome because they were saved by the blood, but you know what we have to do as Christians? Listen to this. We have to overcome temptation through the blood. You're going to go out this week, and I'm going to guarantee you something. Every one of you are going to be tempted. Is that true? I'm going to tell you. Some way, all kinds of different ways, but you're going to be tempted this week. How do we overcome? We overcome through the blood of the Lamb. When temptation comes, we pray. We say, Lord, I have the victory through the blood of Christ. And I claim the blood of Christ. And I'll tell you, when we pray that, I'll tell you what, Satan cannot stand the blood. And when we claim the blood of Christ, not only does it, through the blood do we have forgiveness of the guilt of our sin, but we have victory over the power of sin through the blood. There's power in the blood. Amen? There is. And so the first thing, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. Look how else they overcame him. Second thing in verse 11, through the word of what?
Testimony.
Their testimony. Through the word of their testimony. We overcome by witnessing, by telling other people about Jesus Christ. And every one of us have that privilege. Do we realize that God has put us where we are? In our school, in our place of work, in our neighborhoods. He's put us there to be a witness, to be an ambassador. And when we go, and Ernie, when you go down to the haven of rest, or Abigail, when you have a good news club, or when you, where you work, you tell somebody about Jesus or your neighborhood or your family, I'll tell you what, we're overcoming. We're getting the victory. As we tell others of Christ and what he's done for us and share the good news of the cross and the resurrection, the devil's overcome. Thirdly, the strategy. They didn't love their life even unto death. And you know what that spells, folks? Total commitment. Total commitment. If we are to live as overcomers, we must be totally committed to Christ and his purposes. We realize why we're here. And you know what, folks? As I look at my life sometimes and other people's lives, I see overcommitment. But I just have to ask, you know, What are we committed to? What are we overcommitted to? And if you show me how a person, listen to this, uses their discretionary time. Not every one of us perhaps has to work a job. That's maybe 8 or 10 hours. Every one of us has to sleep. Every one of us has to eat and do things like that. But there's every one of us have discretionary time. How do we invest that? And I'll tell you, we need to use that time, some for relaxation, some to get replenished. But we need to use that time for the Lord Jesus and ministering and loving people for Christ. We need to die to self and be alive to Christ and to minister to others. Total commitment. This is their strategy, and this is our strategy. It's the same. How do we overcome? Through the blood of the Lamb, through witnessing for Christ, and through total commitment, living our life for Jesus. That's how we win and have victory in this life. Now look at the source of their victory. Again, note they're not standing around up in heaven patting each other in the back. This is real different from the locker room in Beijing. In Beijing, they're, yeah, you did it. Yeah, man, good job, jumping on each other. We did it. We worked hard. You know, there's none of that in heaven. No patting on the back in heaven. You did it. You did a good job. You know what? That's because of the source of the victory. The source of the victory. What they're doing is praising God and giving Him glory. They say, great and marvelous are thy works. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord, O God Almighty, only you could pull this off, God. Just and true are thy ways. Only thou art holy. In heaven, no one, I mean no one, will point the finger at God and say, that's not fair. Because just and true are his ways. And the only proper response is fear God, reverence him, honor him, glorify him, worship him, because Christ is coming to set up his kingdom. And all the nations of the world will worship him. Amen. The source of victory is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have him in your life, I've got good news. You win. You win. This is the great victory celebration in heaven. Now, I want to tell one little story before I close. And I told it before, but it fits in here. It's the story of one day when I was at Moody Pastors Conference. And we get an afternoon off at Moody Pastors Conference. You can do anything you want. And this was I was a little younger. And some of the guys were going to go over and play basketball. So I decided, well, I'll go play basketball with these guys, these other ministers. And so we picked up teams, and I forget how many teams there were. There were like 8 or 10 teams, and we played round robin. You played until you lost. And I got on that team. There were two guys that played college basketball on our team. And at least one of the others was a star on his high school team. And I mean, they were really, really, really good. I mean, they were really good. And we played about 8 games. I was so tired. And we didn't lose a game. We won every game. And I scored 0 points. I mean, they even threw it to me purposely, you know, under the basket. To try to score on a layup. And that ball would not go in that basket. 8 games, not 1 point. I'm kind of glad that I didn't, because it makes a good illustration. I did it on purpose. Not 1 point. But we won. I won every game. We were winners. Because I was on the right team. And you know what, folks? It may appear down here like we're losing, but it ain't over till the fat angel sings. And the good news is, we win. If you have Christ, we're going to be standing in heaven's locker room one day, praising Him. May that be an encouragement. When we go through trials and tribulations down here, may we remember what we're going to have when we get to heaven. Amen? Lord, we just bow before You and